Would you join me in prayer as we begin this sermon? Lord, we pray that your Spirit would dwell in this room, dwell in the hearts of each and every person. Lord, guide us. Open our hearts, soften our hearts. Help us to receive, O Lord. Help us to face the reality of our emotional pains and help us to bring it to you. Bring them to you. Guide us, open us. Mold us today by your Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So let's start by looking at what we mean by the wounded spirit. What is the wounded spirit? Proverbs 18, and if you have your Bibles with you, if you can open up to Proverbs, because we're going to look at several passages from Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 14 says, "The human spirit can endure in sickness, but a crushed spirit who can bear?" You know, the word, this crushed spirit can be translated as a wounded spirit. In fact, the Authorized King James Version calls it a wounded spirit. Who can handle? We can even handle pretty bad physical sickness. But if our spirit is wounded, it has the power to crush us. Human spirit can handle even the roughest circumstances and sicknesses. But if our spirit is wounded, we can be debilitated. The word for spirit is the regular word for spirit in the Old Testament. It's this spirit, ruach. Can you say that with me? Say ruach. What I heard, and see the professor of Old Testament right in front of me, so I got to get this right. What I heard is that ruach is a word that means what it sounds like. It means wind. And that's the word for the Holy Spirit. It denotes that inner power within us. It is the life force inside of us. We are all born with this life force, but some things can crush this life force. What are some things that wound our spirit? Proverbs 12:13 says this, "Hope defer makes the heart sick." Hope defer makes the heart sick. Proverbs 15:13 says this, "Heartaches crush the spirit." Have you ever experienced heartache? Crushes the spirit. Proverbs 15:4 says, "A perverse tongue crushes the spirit." Proverbs 14:19 says, "Each heart knows its own bitterness." I think there are many things that crush our spirit. I don't think it's just one thing that crushes it. Sometimes our pain comes because of a physical issue. Maybe you're experiencing severe depression. Maybe you're experiencing postpartum depression. You can't figure out what's going on. There may be a chemical issue to all of these things, and we may need to seek medical care, and that is a very important thing to remember. It can be caused by relational breakdown as well. A heartache from a broken relationship. That relationship you thought was going to work out ended up breaking up. The heartache is sometimes too much to bear. There's this sense of rejection that we feel. Maybe the sense of bitterness. There is this sense of numbness. And even when we try to sleep, there's this pang in our heart that doesn't go away. It just actually literally hurts. You know, and oftentimes it's not just about the loss of that relationship. It gets complicated with this sense of self-worth and validation and loneliness that begins to pervade. Everything gets wrapped up into this one. It can also be caused by offensive or perverse words or actions. Someone who is supposed to love us abandoned us or offended us or maybe even abused us. The pain that comes from that is so complicated. It resides deep in our soul. It's especially difficult when that person was our parent. Many of us have had fathers who were absent from our lives, whether it was physically absent or maybe emotionally absent. They were far off. You never felt his approval. He was not around to love you, to affirm you, to embrace you, to be there for you. Maybe there were words of disappointment that wounded your soul deeply. It doesn't even matter if you did something to provoke it. It still hurts, and it continues in our heart. We carry on some painful memories from our childhood. Maybe it has to do with getting bullied, getting rejected by someone, or being told that you don't amount to much. These perverse words crush our spirit. You know, sometimes we carry around some sort of moral pain. Maybe we did something wrong. And there's guilt that comes along with it. Or someone did something wrong to us, and that stayed deep in our soul, sort of untouched. It's almost like a part of your soul got frozen. Maybe there's guilt wrapped around it. Just this hurt that you just left deep in your soul, and maybe something you did, or maybe something that you think you did, or maybe something that somebody did to you, and you carry that guilt in your heart. I know that some of us carry that guilt in our heart for the breakup of our parents. We were young, you were young, and maybe even you think you were a difficult child, and you think maybe that caused your parents to not be able to handle you and cause problems in the relationship, and it led to their breakup. I knew someone who felt that way. It was deep in her heart, and she was living in guilt. But I want you to know that it was not your fault. It was your parents' decision. It was not your fault. I know for some of you, you feel like there was something inappropriate that happened. And you sometimes lie awake at night thinking that maybe you could have stopped it. But you didn't, because you were so afraid. I want you to know that it is not your fault when you're a victim. Now, how do we respond to these emotional pain, hurts, and wounds of our spirit? How do we respond? What do we do about it? Let me share about a wrong way, some wrong ways to respond to our emotional pain. One, some of us try to deny it or hide it. And it seems like a good solution for a time. You just don't think about it. You just go on in life. But what happens is that sometimes it's just like something that's hidden in you just pops up by itself in a very negative way. For example, when we've been hurt and betrayed by someone relationally, and you just don't deal with it, you just hide it, deny it, repress it, it seems okay for a time, but sometimes it just pops up. We don't know why, but there's this tremendous fear of rejection, and we're afraid to even enter into a relationship, and we have a hard time trusting people, and your next relationship is wondering, what the heck is going on with you? Sometimes we can't understand why we do certain things that we do. Some of us become workaholics in a quest to get the approval that we never got as a child. It's like that thing that hurt us never went away, and we spent our lives trying to make it up. Some of us deal with anger issues and have its roots in past hurts and pain. Maybe we said to ourselves, I am never, ever going to allow that to happen to me again. And then if there's even an insinuation of that, we see ourselves bursting in anger and bitterness and hatred. Some of us grew up with alcoholic parents or angry parents. And we tiptoed around to make sure we don't create any reasons to provoke them. And that tendency sometimes shows up now in a way we have our relationships with one another. We do everything possible to please everyone, and we don't want to talk about the elephant in the room. We can't just hide or deny our past hurts and pain. The reality is that unless we deal with them, it comes to haunt us in a very unhealthy way. Our emotional pain is part of who we are. We can't detach from it. We have to bring it to Jesus. We have to bring it to the Lordship of Jesus Christ and let Him touch us and heal us. Secondly, some of us try to numb the pain by medicating ourselves with alcohol, drugs, maybe even work, movies, eating. We're just keeping ourselves really, really, really busy, just sleeping. We don't even want to wake up. I know for some of you, you started out drinking because of this. But you've been in it for so long. I know for some of us, we start as an experiment, or maybe, you know, something happened, it just kind of triggered it, but after a while, it turned into something more. It became a way of escape. It became a way to numb our constant sorrow. It is a way of numbing our anger. It is a way of hiding our problems. It is a way of feeling happy and alive for a while. But when we keep doing this, it takes a hold of us and takes us into a vicious cycle of hopelessness. And they destroy us. So just trying to numb our pain does not work either. Thirdly, some of us try to get back at them. That doesn't work either. You know, revenge, anger, hatred, resentment, bitterness, all of these things rot our spirit. While there's a sense of justice that goes along with that feeling, what really happens is that we replay that pain over and over again, and we reduce the one who wronged us into this one-dimensional evil person that cannot and should not be forgiven. We deprive that person of humanity, and in doing so, we deprive ourselves of happiness. There is no happiness in vengeance, anger, bitterness, resentment, hatred. So this approach doesn't work either. then how do we respond to our emotional pain, hurts, and wounds? Proverbs 13:12 says this, "Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a longing fulfilled is a tree of life." Tree of life. Proverbs 15:4 says this, "The soothing tongue is a tree of life, but a perverse tongue crushes the spirit." The call is to seek the tree of life. Now, tree of life is mentioned a couple of times in the book of Proverbs we just read. And there's one other time that is used in the book of Proverbs as well. But outside of that, it's only mentioned twice in the Bible, once in Genesis and then once in Revelation. So in the beginning of the Bible and at the end of the Bible. In Genesis, the tree of life was in the middle of the Garden of Eden and was the symbol of eternal and full life with God. It is a symbol of absolute satisfaction and joy. It is the complete satiation of the deepest desires and hopes and longings. If we had the tree of life, all of our pain will be healed. And in fact, God could make something even beautiful out of our pain. Even out of our pain. But Genesis tells us that when we decided to turn away from God and seek to find our own little tree of life, our own source of joy and meaning outside of God, God led us to the consequences of that decision. He put angels to guard the tree of life from us. We lost the tree of life. But then that's not the complete picture. When God restores, when Jesus comes back and earth is restored, new heavens and new earth is established, when the new Jerusalem, new city is established, this is how it's described in Revelation chapter 22, verses 1 to 5. Listen to this carefully, because it's important. "When the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the trees are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and the Lamb will be in the city, and the servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night, no more darkness. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light. They will reign forever and ever." Amen. What a beautiful picture this is. It's this beautiful picture of how the tree of life brings healing. There's no more curse. We will see his face. We will see God's face. There will be no more hiding. The light of God shines in this new city. The tree of life is restored. Hallelujah. But you know what? This is not just a picture of the future. This is a picture of the kingdom of God when it is completely restored. But Jesus told us to believe in the good news of the kingdom of God. He said, the kingdom of God is here. He, Jesus, came to inaugurate the kingdom of God and invite us into the kingdom of God. So the kingdom of God has been inaugurated, but it has not yet been completed. So we live in the in-between times, God has already broken through. God is already building the kingdom of God. The power of the kingdom of God that is to come in the future, the power of the tree of life is now available to us as a deposit. The Holy Spirit, the scripture tells us, is a deposit of that which is to come. It is a foretaste of that which is to come. We can actually experience the foretaste of healing of the tree of life now. That's why Jesus told us to pray. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's not just a prayer for the future. It's the prayer for the present. It is the calling of the future into the present. And do you know what this means? It means that God can bring you healing in the present from your emotional pain, from your wounds. It's possible right now. But you might ask, so Pastor Kevin, how? How does this happen? I got the idea, but how does it actually happen? How do we bring God's healing into our lives? So I want to talk about two ways. First, let's start by helping other people heal. Proverbs 15:4 says, the soothing tongue is a tree of life. Soothing tongue is a tree of life. The word soothing tongue can be translated as healing words. We are called to bring healing words to people. Effectively, that means we're called to be agents of the tree of life. Amen? Through healing words. How can I help bring the tree of life, the healing words, to people who are hurting? I ask for the guidance of the Holy Spirit. This healing is not just personal. It involves a community of brothers and sisters in the Lord. It involves the church. You know, the church is the body of Christ. The church is not the building. In fact, we just got, you know, what is that for us? You know, we're like kicked out in the basement. The church is the body of Christ. It's you, me, everyone, people, and we represent Jesus Christ. So when there's people who cry out, where is God? When it hurts, where is God when it hurts? Our call is to be there and represent the body of Christ, the physical presence and love of Jesus Christ, with healing words, with encouraging words, with loving words to them, embracing them, loving them, and ministering to them. It doesn't matter if you are also in pain. He can use your pain to minister to that person just as the suffering of Jesus Christ is used to minister to us when we are suffering. You know, and sometimes the suffering that you're going through, it makes you uniquely qualified to bring healing words to a particular person. Maybe God has put into your life. So that's the first way. Minister by bringing the presence of Jesus, healing words, the tree of life to that person who's hurting. And maybe if you're, sometimes, you know, you need somebody like that, right? Sometimes you're called to be the person who gives healing words, but sometimes you need that. And so I think it's really, really important for you to step up into community and open your hearts and become authentic. And sometimes you need something more extensive, and you need to see maybe a therapist to receive healing words, to go through a process. Maybe you need a sponsor. Maybe you need a spiritual director. Whatever his form may be, those are all helpful ways in which to experience the tree of life and healing in your life. But secondly, it's not just the community that can help you heal. I believe God could help us in our intimate relationship with Him as we bring our whole self, even our hurts and pain, and even our ugly memories to His presence and love. You know, we need to bring all of ourselves to God. And this is what we do ordinarily when we develop relationships with friends and even romantic relationships. We talk about our past. We don't just say what we're thinking in the present and go, you know, I don't really want to talk about my past. I'm a new creation in Jesus Christ. I don't talk about my past anymore. You make it kind of religious. You go on, you know, so. But you know, when we actually get to know people, we talk about the good, the bad, and the ugly. We talk about who we are because past formed who we are. Past memories are a part of who we are. In the same way, you need to bring your whole self to God. You know, in a friendship, you're not really close to someone until you have that late night session at a coffee shop or, you know, you just like can't stop talking because you connected and you just hear one another. You begin to talk about what happened to you when you were a child. This is how you grew up. This was my pain. This is my hurt. This is my joy. That's what we do when we develop friendship. Do you think God wants your relationship with Him to be any less intimate than that? But there's something in us that says, no, I don't really want to talk about the past with God. God wants you to bring all of your past with Him. Because so much of who we are influenced by how we felt. Maybe when our dad was not pleased with something we did. Maybe our grades. Maybe a part of your behavior now is influenced by that thing that you failed or that home run that you missed. Or for some of you who are jocks, I never think it that way. But anyway, maybe it's part of that behavior that you engage in now comes from that little girl or little boy trying to get the attention of the parent, maybe the father. You're still influenced by the hurt, yet you forget to take it to Jesus, who is the tree of life. God wants that intimacy with you, a relationship of love. He wants to pour His love into you, and He wants some love from you as well, by the way. He wants, because He's not just interested in the one way, I'll pour my love to you, I don't care how you respond. No, He wants your love. He wants your vulnerability. He wants all of you. He wants you to open up your heart to Him and say, Lord, this is me, and I'm messed up, but I love you. That's what God wants with you. That's what He's after, an intimate relationship with us. He wants us to see His face as He sees our face. You know, this is so important, the next sentence that I will share with you. Write it down, remember it, think about it, mull on it this week, this one sentence. Okay, because it's been powerful for me, and I hope that it's powerful for you as well. Knowing that God loved us all along has the power to heal us today. Knowing that God loved us all along has the power to heal us today. You know, when we think about our past, that episode of pain and hurt that we experience, we feel like, especially if it was before we became a Christian or a follower of Jesus Christ, or even if we were a follower of Jesus Christ then, because it's so painful, because it was so dark, because it was, you just feel like Jesus was absent. God was absent. In fact, when you recall that memory, Jesus is not in the picture. Think about it right now. Take a moment to recall a pain or hurt or wound in your life. And when you go back to that memory, do you see God? Do you see Jesus? And often we don't. But what if we take the time to actually align our memory to the reality that God loved us all along, even in the midst of our pain, even when that happened, even when that person announced a divorce, even when that ugly thing happened, God loved us all along, and he was there with us. What if you take a moment to meditate and use your sanctified imagination? Imagination is a beautiful tool to actually set into reality that which we remember falsely. See, if we believe that Jesus wasn't there, he didn't care, I was left all alone to cry by myself. That is not the truth. Truth is that Jesus was there. God was there. He loved you. Right there. So you need to go back and reinterpret that memory by faith. Because knowing that God loved us all along has the power to heal us. You know, I shared this before once, but this is one story that I always, like, I don't want to share it, but as I prepared the sermon, I just felt like God was saying, share it again. So as I was learning this, learning how to meditate and go back to that place and reimagining my memory with God's love present, you know, I was trying to think about this, and then there was one thing, one issue that I struggle with as a man, that I struggle with objectification of women and lust. And so I kept on asking God, where is this? Can you help me? Can you help me dig into this sin? Can you help me? And so, you know, I was praying, and I felt like God took me to a place. I didn't actually try to remember this place, but he took me to a place when I was 10 years old. I grew up in a barrio in San Jose, California. It was kind of a rough neighborhood. Now it's like totally gentrified, I think. But anyway, at that time, it was kind of a rough place to grow up. And but one of the things that we did, my friends and I, we would take the bus every Saturday morning and go to Jose Theater at 12:30 to see 3 movies for 50 cents. Every time I say that, I feel so old. But it was actually true. And I went, my friends and I went there because we saw kung fu movies. And I was totally into Bruce Lee at the time. I'm an Asian guy. He's my superhero. You know, because we don't have other superheroes. Have you seen the Asians? No, Bruce Lee is my only still superhero. But anyway, I went to see him 10 o'clock. I was 10 years old. But, you know, for 3 movies, it'd be 1 kung fu movie and 2 raunchy movies. Raunchy. Yeah, it's just like a bunch of kids in the theater, but they show rated R. I didn't even know what it was actually rated. I think it was rated R, but I got my sex education in Jose Theater Saturday mornings. And it was just really a disgusting way to get a sex education. Objectified women, glorifying all kinds of very bad things. And I think it took root. Something there. And then so, but in my prayer with God, so the Lord took me into Jose Theater, and I was sitting there. I saw myself, 10-year-old, watching this, whatever, getting a sex education. And I said, Lord, where are you? I don't see you. I kept on saying, Lord, I see me. I don't see you. And then the Holy Spirit said, look over there. And I remember seeing a vision of Jesus just standing on the side, looking at me and crying. And every time I think of that, I can't tell that story without crying, because he was there and he was in tears. He was gentle. He was sad that it had come to this. He was sad. But he loved me even then. And knowing that he loved me all along has the power to heal. For some reason, that just remembering that really was a significant part of my healing, and my not just my healing, but my transformation in life. You know, when we bring up all that we are, even the things that we did to ourselves, and we begin to see the beauty of our Lord Jesus Christ, even at that time, it changes us. You know, here's the thing. All healing, especially of emotional pain, is a matter of seeing Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17 to 18 says this, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Hallelujah. Amen. And we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. So this passage says, if we contemplate his glory, and then Scripture often talks about his glory as his face. If we contemplate and begin to see his face, when we actually enter into that prayer and begin to ask God, show me your face, even in the deepest pain and hurt in my life, show me your face. I need to know that you are there. It has the power to transform us. You see, as we behold the glory of God in the face of Jesus, we become transformed. What we see is what we become. When I see God's love in every circumstances of life, when I see God treating me with love and kindness, I develop a love for God, and that transforms me. We need to see that he loved us when you were called names, when you were bullied, when you were screwed up, when you got pregnant and went to a clinic, when you ran away from home, when you got into alcohol, drugs. We need to see that he loved you at that time, even when you were hurting, when you were insulted, when that guy broke your heart, when she broke your heart, when they abused you. He loved you even then. He was crying next to you. He was embracing you. And I was talking to somebody who did an exercise like that, and he says, when I went to that place, then I said, Lord, show me. I want to see your face. He suddenly started to see Jesus just embracing him, holding him at that moment. We need to bring our pains and hurts to the feet of Jesus Christ. Let me give you a couple of just practical suggestions on how to actually do this, okay? Number one, you need to be at a point in your life when you're willing to let go. Not necessarily able, but willing, wanting to let go. Sometimes we stop at woe is me and see ourselves as just victim, and oftentimes that is the truth. But that's not the place to stop. You can't just stop at bitterness and resentment. You can't let your past define you and let the past rule over you. You have to be willing, at least wanting, to be able to forgive. Are you willing to let go? Secondly, it takes time. This is not one of those instantaneous days. So Lent is a good time to practice this. Because Lent is an uncomfortably long time to self-reflect and repent. Because it takes spending time with Jesus. You know, it takes some amount of familiarity. It takes time to be able to come to Jesus and just kind of slow down and be able to contemplate, begin to listen, to begin to see and engage. And imagine. You know, sometimes when I say imagine, it sounds like a new age stuff. No. God has given you ability to imagine, to actually remember, and to fix that which is not the truth in your life. Sometimes we get stuck in somebody telling us, you are a loser. And we just get stuck there. Well, when you go back and reimagine that moment, that is actually the reality you're bringing. And fixing a faulty memory. Because God loved you all along. Remember that. In your past. Even before you believed. Even before you gave your life to Jesus. Even before you changed. God loved you all along. And so when we go back to that time, you know, I think you should do it by yourself. Just empty room. Just make sure that you got no distractions. Maybe I like to turn on some music, really light. Caesarean monks. That's what I like to listen to. If you have Apple Music, just go play some Caesarean monk chants. It's a great music for this kind of meditation. Others of you might just like silence and just go. And then just slow down and enter into contemplation with the Lord and say, Lord, I think sometimes, you know, you can do this and just say, Lord, what do you want to talk about today? So you're not coming to Jesus and saying, okay, here, I got five different prayer requests for this thing, this thing, this thing, this thing. You do that another time. But here, when you go, you just go, Lord, I'm just creating time for us to remember together. So what I find helpful is to bring up an issue that you're struggling with. Lord, I'm in recovery, but it's so hard. Can you help me out here? What's going on? And then just stay silent. Let the Spirit of God bring you a memory from the past. But now you know that the Spirit of God is going to bring a memory from the past. So you're open to that. You're giving space for that to happen. And then as you remember that pain, ask God. If you don't see Jesus in it, you go, where are you, Lord? I want to see your face. I want to see your face. I want to see that you love me then. This is a powerful spiritual exercise. You will see. And as you do that, maybe you should have someone to talk to and debrief afterwards. That's what community is for. That's how you find the tree of life who has the power to heal you right now. Would you consider creating some time during Lent for this spiritual exercise, allowing God to heal you? He'll bring some tears into your life, but that's a beautiful day. Would you join me in prayer? Lord, we come to you with all of our baggage, all of our past hurts, pain and wounds. And so, Lord, in so many different ways, we've been afraid to come to you. We've had this shallow relationship with you. But I hear your voice of love, oh Lord. We hear your voice of love calling us to a deeper intimacy with you, deeper meditation in your presence, deeper healing through your spirit. So, Lord, I pray that your spirit will continue to guide us and work in us in each and every person, oh Lord. Help us to come into your presence and see that you loved us all along. And help us to experience the tree of life that's available to us now, that brings healing in our lives, oh Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.